and I was very careful. One has, you know, not everything that everybody perceives as a danger is a danger. There are people that are anxious and worry about things that maybe that one doesn't have to worry about. Again, I'm not here to posture what is a danger, what is not a danger, right? I know people that don't go shopping at Walmart now because they feel there's Arabs there, and you never know, and now there's an atmosphere against Jews, so you don't want to go, right? Some people will tell you that's a ridiculous thing to say. I don't know. I'm not here to... There are people, that's a person's, you know, a person has to make his hashara, whether it's something dangerous or not dangerous. I you know what I mean? Coming to the base of Medrash is safe. That's for sure. What? What do you mean? For what? He was talking about a chassid that had to stop him. Stayed to the side. It's Gemara and Brachas. He went to Davin, and a Goyish ruler came over and said, Shalom. And he didn't answer. So when he finished, the guy said, I can kill you. He said, let me explain it to you. If you're talking to the king and your friend comes and says hello, do you stop? The guy says, no. He said, I was talking to the king, and you're my friend, and you can't have said hello. So the guy left him alone. So Pasha, when you learn the Gemara, it sounds like the Chassid did the right thing. Zakta Peleyayat, the Mepharshim that say, V'nifter L'Beisa L'Shalom doesn't mean he went home in peace. It meant he went to his ultimate home in peace because he was over the halacha of not watching his life. That's what the Peleyayat brings to Mepharshim. It said, I learned that Gemara and Brachos a number of times and I never saw them shot, but that doesn't mean anything. Rashi doesn't say it, that's all. But the Peleyayat is bringing from Mepharshim. Again, I'm not here to judge. I said, it has to be, obviously, the Peleyayat feels that the person was over the Yisr. Shmata Michael Namshasechim says, you stop Shemayin Esrei and when you're in danger of life. That's what it says. Yes?
Yeah, I mean, just succinctly, there are many, on this subject, there are many conflicting Chazal and many conflicting Gemoras and many conflicting Midrashim, which say exactly the opposite.
Yes, for this we go to Gedalia Yisrael to lead us in the right path. Okay, let us go into the Gemara. I believe that I put on the
You did.
I did? Okay.
Aren't you welcome back, Roger?
I said Shalom Aleichem. I said a break to Shalom Aleichem. Okay, so yesterday we learned that it says Sakhi Sakha Shar Vilayachos Vsarai. That Vilayachos Vsarai is coming to tell me if you shechted it. And that if you shechted it, you can't have Hana from it. And the Gemara asked the question. Maybe Leochos Vesari stomach don't have pleasure after you stone it. Like Rabbi Vol said, that the word Leoseichlu includes the Isra of pleasure. The Gemara answered, when it means eating, it includes pleasure. When I don't need it for eating, then Leoseichlu doesn't mean pleasure. So therefore, it has to mean something eating. So it means if you shecht it, you can't use it, even if you shecht it before it's stoned, obviously. You cannot eat it. And you can't.
After
Gemara did? Correct. Zakti Gemara Weiter. Maskevah Marzutra, which is on Numvav Amid Beis. My guess would be about 12 lines to the bottom. Beginning of the line, Maskevah Marzutra. Now, Marzutra has an interesting Havamina. The Gemara brings it down as a Havamina, and the Gemara will reject it. Maskevah Marzutra. Ve'ema, hani milihech the bodak tzur v'shachadba. Now, in those days, they shechted with many different kinds of tools. We use a knife. They could use any sharp edge. They did use any sharp edge. Somebody could take a sharp rock and shecht with a sharp rock. It would be a kasher shechita if he knows what he's doing. Now, a rock has in it with a property of skila, the fact that you're using a rock. So maybe the Torah only asers eating it if you shecht it before you kill it. If you shecht it with a rock, so you did, quote-unquote, something of skila in a kosher way of shechting, Dr. Tyrant, no. It has to be stoning that kills. If you shecht it with a rock, it's usher to eat, not because you can't shecht it with a knife and eat it. Maybe if you shecht it with a knife, you could eat it. But you use a rock, so it's like stoning it. Therefore, you can't eat it. Meaning my Zutra is trying to say that he wants to limit, again, what we said was that if you shecht it acher gemar din, you can't eat it, even though you shecht it kosher. Maybe the pasuk is not saying it as a blanket statement if you shecht it after gemar din. Maybe the Torah is talking about a specific kind of shechita. A person who uses a rock for shechita shouldn't eat it because it's like he stoned it. It's a means, it's not exactly stoning, but it's a means of stoning. Frank the Gemara. Maskevar Mazutra. Eimahani milech the bodak tsur, he checked a rock. Meshachadba. The mechzik is skila. That is like skila, so you can't eat it. Avashachta besakamoy. But maybe, if you checked it with a knife, you could eat it. Maybe the Torah did not make it iser to eat it if you shecht it after Gemara din. Maybe only if you shecht it with a knife, with a stone. Zok to Gemara, midi sakim baraisiksiv. Did the Torah say how to shecht? The Torah doesn't care what tool you use. So therefore, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that we should say there's a difference in what tool you use. There's never a Torah telling me what kind of tool to use. Had the Torah told me use metal, and I went and used rock, you can tell me that's like skila. But if you tell me, the Torah told me shecht, anyway, I shecht is all the same. And we don't differentiate. And therefore, there's no difference if you shecht with a rock or you shecht with a knife. Rashi. Just let me finish. You're going to have to let me read the Rashi. Oh, Tanya. The Koshechtim. Beimitzur, I'm reading another two lines of the Gemara. Beimitzur, whether you use a rock. Beimitzchukas, whether you use glass. Beimitzchukas, whether you use a sharp reed. Period. Rashi. Zog to Rashi. The Eimahani Mili. That's where I'm starting the Rashi. Kishashmina krod afil shach to usher. That which the Torah said, if you shechted, it's usher. Hayecheched the bodak tzur v'shachet ba. He took a rock and shechted it. The skilahi. The kind of skila. The menevela lematzi nafik. That wouldn't be considered nevela. The nevela, you shechted it. Avashchita sakaloi, maybe if you shecht it with a knife, it's not usher. Meaning, sucking sieve by rice aids or shechita, did the Torah give a preference to shechting with metal over a rock? But even the hachiyu, the Torah never gave any preference. Kishachtin ami betur lav skila hiel shechita. If the Torah would have said shecht with metal and I use a rock, you can tell me a rock is not really shechita. But if the Torah told me shecht and it didn't give me a preference, all tools are created equal. And yet the Torah asked b'saroi, don't tell me because it looks like skila. It would have looked like skila if the Torah would have preferred a different way of shechita, but it didn't. Therefore, v'lo didn't suck. So that's the Gemara. That's how I know Sharon Nisko's also banah, because we see clearly from the Brisa that once it's a Sharon Nisko, you can't shecht it and eat it. And you can't even have pleasure. We learned that out from Baal HaSharnaki. That's what we learned out. Yes, Rabbi Kong.
Skila, if we put it this way, but every other skila isn't say you throw an animal down and you stone it with rock.
Right.
So what?
You want to know what the Havamina was?
No, no.
When I started, I said, it's a Havamina, an interesting Havamina. Yes.
What I'm saying is in another case, not to do with Shechita. How do you stone a person?
With stones.
Okay. So it's not you that you try to shecht him and use a...
Again. No. Nobody's saying that that's the preferred way of skila. The Havamina was that since you're using a rock, it gets the properties of skila. It's as if you stoned him. That's not what the Torah means by stoning.
Oh, but is it...
The Torah means...
Is it
an
option?
It's saying that if you use a rock for shechita, in HaTorah's eyes, it's a means of stoning.
I'm asking a question.
It's not going to the Gemara. It's not true.
What does Hav mean? That means a person is high of skila, Rachman Zilzlan, right? So they can go and take a stone and...
It's not what you're supposed to do with chatchila, but it would be counted as chila if you want to know. That's all. Okay. Very good.
That's not very good. I'm just
saying. I don't know. It's not good for anybody to get chila. I mean, I'm asking.
They have knives that are made not out of metal. I forgot what they're made out of.
Today we don't do anything. Today we keep what's mutter and halacha, and what we do is nothing to do with each other.
No.
We shech with knives that are extremely sharp. much sharper than they ever had before. They have really sharp knives today. And I believe we use aluminum. I'm not sure. I don't know if he's on the phone or not.
Yeah, he's on every day.
Ellie, are you on the phone?
Yes.
I believe we use aluminum. It was a big tumble when they came out with aluminum knives. They had a new method of sharpening it, doing Dalem that said no, Dalem that said yes. At the end of the day, that's what we do. We use the new sharpened knives, and that's all we use. We don't look for anything else, try anything else. We don't touch tradition.
When they came out with stainless steel, that was when people made a tumble. You can't use, you can use. Before they had stainless steel, it was a steel that rusts, but it was very sharp and was not as smooth. But when they came out with stainless steel, since it was something new, people made a tumble. But,
it was in the early 80s and it happened, this tumble. Yeah, thank you. So they used stainless steel. So once upon a time, they didn't have stainless steel. Then they got stainless steel. There was a tumble whether you could switch to stainless steel.
Because
it's a new thing. Exactly. Yes.
Several points. The sharpest knives available today are actually ceramic. That's what she was referring to. The second, aluminum is very interesting because according to Chaznish and Hilchos Sukkah, aluminum is not a metal, it's a ground.
Could be. Anyway, I made a mistake. I thought it was aluminum, they checked with stainless steel. Scratch what I said. Next.
Okay. And number three is that stainless steel is interesting in that it's very hard to sharpen. The easiest thing to sharpen is a soft metal like carbon steel, whereas stainless steel is extremely sharp when manufactured, but becomes dull very, over time.
Again, there was a tumble when they switched to stainless steel. They obviously use stainless steel today. Weiter. Dr. Gemara Weiter. Frank Gemara. Okay, so we found what we needed. We wanted to find Isser Hana. We found Isser Hana. Now back to the Gemara. Frank the Gemara. But we brought Rebbe Vol into the picture. And Rebbe Vol told us that lo ye'achal, which told us that if you shecht it before skila, you can't eat it, also includes hana. We did gain that fact. It's not only for hana, but can be also for hana. So ba'al sharnaki l'mayasa. So what do I need ba'al sharnaki? The Brisa said we learn out hana from ba'al sharnaki. We don't need it. Once you've told me, Rabbi Vol, that the word loye yachol means achila and hana, and we're saying it's going if you shecht it before it got stoned, so the Torah is telling me don't eat it and don't have pleasure. So why do I need a separate pasuk to tell me I can't have hana? The Brisa needed a separate pasuk called bal hasharnaki. Why? Rabbi Vol told me that loye yachol includes hana. I know hana. And for the Gemara, the hana's iris. Coming that you can't even have hanoah from the hide. Somebody had brought up the hide. The Baal Sharnaki means not only the meat, which is included in lo ye'achol, the edible parts, but even the hide is aser b'hanoah. That's what the Brisa meant when it said Baal Sharnaki, k'adam shi'yitzi naki min achasav, he's cleaned out, means even the hide is aser b'hanoah. Rashi? No Rashi. Frek the Gemara. Ulahana, now the Gemara is going to it. The Brisa is great. Now we have a problem. In Masechta's Baba Kama, there are two differing opinions besides this opinion that we brought for what Baal HaSharnaki comes from. One Tana says that Baal HaSharnaki is to contrast Tam and Muad. And let me explain. A Tam is the first three times that an animal gores. It's a Tam. Now, if it kills a person, we kill it. But there's no payment obligation on the owner. If for some reason the animal gored killed the people four times, not only do we kill the animal, but the owner has to pay kaifer. He has to pay the value, machloikas tanoim, of either the victim or of himself. One of the two, he has to pay. So the Torah said, by a muad, They did it four times, and Rabbi Cohn spoke out yesterday so eloquently that how can you have an animal that kills four times if you kill it the first time? The animal ran away. We didn't have it. Killed once, killed twice, killed three times, killed four times. At the fourth time, the owner has to pay kaifer. At Tom, there's no obligation of kaifer. There's a mandiyamah there that wants to say, maybe a Tom should pay half kaifer. Just like when an animal damages, the first three times it pays half the damage, if it damages with its horns, and the fourth time it pays full damage, maybe the Torah meant kaifer for a mu'at completely, and a Tom should pay half kaifer. So a Tana says no. Baal Hashar Naki is written by a Tom to tell me that the owner is absolved from paying even half a kaifer. That's what one Tana uses Baal Hashar Naki for. Another Tana comes along and says Baal Hashar Naki is for something else. The halacha is, if somebody kills fetuses, they were fighting, and he hit a pregnant lady and killed her fetus, he pays money. It's called Dmei Vladois. He pays the value of the fetuses. A shor that gores a pregnant woman and kills her fetuses does not pay. And that Maliyama learns it out from Baal Hashar Naki. He doesn't pay for fetuses that his shor killed. So these two Tanoim use Naki for something else, which is fine. They're allowed to. They're Tanoim. They can do what they want. But then obviously what they learn. But where are they going to learn this Tanoim to hide? We're saying now that Baal Hashar Naki is necessary to tell me you can't have an offer to hide. Those two Tanoim use Baal Hashar Naki for something else. It's not Shver and this Brisa. This Brisa is allowed to disagree with those Mandi Amrim. But we want to know, according to those Mandi Amrim, they use Naki for something else. How are they going to know that a hide is us? Frank the Gemara. Ulamandi Amar. Ulahanach Tanoi. To those Tanoim. The Mapkele Hai Besar Baal Hashar Naki. Either the Chatzi Kaifer, that he does not pay half a kaifer, or the Dmei Velodos that he doesn't have to pay fetuses. Where are they going to know this price is halacha? We're not bothered by the fact that Tanoim argue in a drasha. They're allowed to, and they do all the time. But they have to know this halacha of Hanoah Saira. Where are they going to learn that from, Rashi? Dr. Rashi, Lahanach Tanoim, the Mavkulei of Arishon Naki, Bababa Kama, Lachatzi Kaifer, Shem Hoya gets to Adam, if a Tom kills a person, Naki Machatzi Kaifer, forgot the word Mishalom Kaifer Shalom, even though a person, a shor that gored four people and killed them, pays Kaifer Shalom, complete Kaifer, and again, there's a Machlokes, what Kaifer is, the value of the victim or the value of the owner of the shor. We don't say that just like by damages he pays half, so by kaifer he should pay half. No, Naki, he pays nothing. There's maybe others. If the shor gored a pregnant woman and her babies got killed, does not pay the value of the fetuses to the owner like a person would, by a person says he has to pay. So the question is, those Tanoim, how do they know the halacha that the hide is aser banor?
Is
Shoshanagach
only when it kills somebody?
For kaifer, for killing. Again, to be a mu'ud for killing, he has to kill three people.
Yes, in other words, even if he goes around goring...
That is a mu'ud for damages.
But not... Okay.
Zog to Gemara.
The first three time he damages...
Half. By carrot. Depends how he damages. But if he pays with damages with his horn, or he kicks, or bites, he pays half.
First three times.
Ever to Gemara, me'as besaroi. Says Lo Yachol S Besaroi. S is an inclusive word. It comes to include something else. S Hatafel Besaroi. The part that's secondary to the meat, which is the hide. So those Tanoim will learn it out from the word S. Frek the Gemara Vidach. So why doesn't our Tana learn out from the word S? So the Gemara S Lo Darish. He does not think S is an inclusive word. Kitatanya, and this is a Brisa. Shimon Amsuni, V'amelo Nechemya Amsuni, either Shimon Amsuni or Nechemya Amsuni, Hayadirish Kol Esen Shabbatayra. He used every S and he includes something. He started with Breishis Bara Lakim Es Hashemayim Ve'es Ha'aretz, and he dashes something from Es Hashemayim and something from Es Ha'aretz. And he continued going through the whole Torah, taking every S and including something. He got to the pasuk of Hashem Elokecha Tira, which I believe is in Parshas Ekev. I'm not sure, it might be in Aschanon, but it's Pirish. He stopped. He said, I'm wrong. S does not include. There's nothing to include like the Rabbanu Shleilam. S Hashem Elokecha Tira, fear Hashem. What are you going to include that it should be similar to the Rabbanu Shleilam? Therefore, I made a mistake. One does not darshan Essen. It's a mistake. He meant he went to Hubrachis, Shmais, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Parshas Devarim, and most of Parshas Veschanon. And he darshan every S. He got here, he said, I am wrong. Amr loy tamid of Rebbe, kol Essen shidarashta maitei aleim. You just spent time darshaning every S. What happens to them now? Just like the Rebbeinu Shlom gave me reward for trying to darshan every S till now, I am getting schar now for saying I was wrong. So he doesn't darshan S. Rebbe Kiva believed S Hashem Elokecha Tira, the rabbis Tamid Chachamim. Rebbe Kiva came along and said, it's include that we have to have fear for Tamid Chachamim. That's Mayre Rabbach K'mayre Shemayim. That's what's included. So according to Bekiva, we do darshan every S in the Torah. According to Shimon Am Suni, we don't darshan S in the Torah. So our Tana, the Braisa, didn't want to darshan S, so therefore he learned that Hanoa from Balashar Naki. Those two Tanoim darshan S. Therefore they learned that the Hanoa of the hide from S. And therefore they had Balashar Naki for the other drushes. Chatzi Kaifer, the Mevelodas. Frek the Masha, it says V'havta Es Hashem Elokecha before Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Why was that okay? And when he got to Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, he stopped. He should have stopped by V'havta Es Hashem Elokecha. Right, that's the Mashah's question. Dr. Mashah, to say you should love a Talmud Chacham like you love Hashem is wonderful. To fear a Talmud Chacham like you fear Hashem, it's not really true, because Hashem can punish you with anything, and the Talmud Chacham doesn't have that power. So therefore, he felt that you can't darshan Hashem Elokecha Tira. Hashem Kiri Kiva came and said, Mayra Rabbach Kamayra Shemayim can be darshan.
But did he, I
wasn't there, so whatever.
I don't know if you said it, but what, I mean, it does seem like...
Let's go.
I can't even save it. I'm so scared.
Don't.
I was Tira ready.
Oh, you're Tira me. Very good.
Okay, so I have a problem with this. Was asked other people what they thought?
I wasn't there. No, as I said, you're asking me to speculate.
No, but
what do you want me to write in the story? What do you want me to make up?
Let me know what the story was.
No, I don't. I know exactly what you know now. I assume that he felt it was, he b'shita felt, there's nothing you can include like Hashem, and there's nothing to ask or to fear, think. It, the Torah is revealing to me that S is not a drasha.
And everything that he learned before that he taught us Talmidim, erased it.
He just said, Shem Shikabalti Schar al Drisha, that's honesty. It's intellectual honesty.
Like all or none?
Well, either S is a marba or S is not a marba. And he did not say, I don't know what to include from S. It's impossible to include something. That's what he held. It wasn't that I hit a stone wall, I don't know what to include, maybe somebody can help me. No. You can't include anything from Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. That means that teaches me that I made a mistake when I learned Es Hashemayim Es Haaretz all the way from the beginning of Bereishis, all the way to either end of Eschanan or Be'ekav. I don't know exactly where it is. Rabbi Kiva came along and said, no, there is something to darshan, and therefore all S's are okay. What? I don't know. I wasn't there, correct. Yes, doctor.
This Gemara, whatever it's worth, this one is one of the great examples of intellectual honesty in the entire Western tradition. I mean, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that had Nehemiah or whichever
Shimon Am Suni
or Shimon or Nehemiah wanted to come up with some sort of reason, they could easily toss one off standing on one foot.
I said intellectual honesty.
Yeah, no, I've also had my hand up for about 10 minutes. Now I'm stuttering. I am in awe of the honesty.
Again, you know, they're Tanoim. Yeah, I mean, this is what life is about. These are the people that we stand in awe of, that the Mayor Rabbi Kamayu Shemayim applies to on a grand scale. And these are Tanoim.
I mean, it took the Western tradition 1,500 years to come up with Karl Popper's idea of falsifiability.
Again, I'm not, the Western world is the Western world, and Tyre is Amos. Yes.
I'm saying nice thing about Tyre.
Yes.
I think Mark wants to say this. So did he cancel?
Yes.
So why did he get Tyre? He said, because I was fascinated.
Because in Tyre you get rewarded for trying, not for accomplishing.
So if I learned false shots.
And you honestly tried to learn shot, and you came up with a shot, and you went a whole day thinking you had a shot, and then you met your friend and told them the shot, and he just told you you're all wet behind the ears, you don't know what you're talking about. You get sky for doing a whole day. Yes.
And one last question. This story is always told, the name Shimon Amsoni or Nehemiah Amsoni, it's always told the same way, the story?
All the prices that I remember, it's two or three places in Shas. I think it's three places in Shas that I remember, and it's always the same people. It's in Baba Kama, it's in Psalchem, it's here, I don't know if it's anywhere else. Rashi. Esle Darish L'Rabuya, Ki Aitana Shapirish M'Ladarsham, that stopped darshaning them. Hayadayish Kalasin Shabbatayr L'Rabuya, to include Pirish. Shiyore L'Rabba Shum Davar L'Ashroi Shalamayra Malkam. He was frightened to include anything should be equal to Myra Malkam. End of story.
When I was in Shir and Yeshiva, if someone asks a question to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, "Good question, I don't have an answer." He had a whole Shul Torah, and he said, "Oh, I have a question on your Shul Torah." So you mean to tell me he should be Porish or what he said?
Well, Rav Shach, when he slugged up his Shir, middle of Shir, closed his Gemara and walked off and said, "I'm wrong." It's called intellectual honesty.
Rav Gifter.
That I don't mind. I know they say about Rav Shach. Tell me about Rav Gifter too.
I believe I have from Rav Gerson. Rav Gifter also stopped a shear in the middle and someone asked a question and said he was wrong.
Yeah, you know, if you're out of town, if you're looking for truth, you admit to the truth. It's hard for people becoming a gay bedavid to what we say.
Don't look at the Western world for truth, Rebbe.
What?
Don't look at the Western.
No, I'm not. Or the Eastern world, by the way. Right. Ashapiyam dibershav v'yaminam yamin shaker. Right. Kapara, it's a big madrega. I don't expect any guy to reach that madrega. It's a huge madrega. To be respected intellectually as a brilliant person, and then somebody asks you a question you don't have an answer, to admit that everything you've been talking about and writing about in 16 articles in medical journals and scientific journals is all false. It's a huge madrega.
Doesn't mean you're answering. You don't have an answer.
No, this is where you made a mistake. It's not said he didn't have an answer. He said you can't have an answer. Nothing is like the Rabbi Nishleilov.
So the Rishiva answered him that he didn't care?
I wasn't. I'd see again. I don't know if Rabbi Kiva answered him. I don't know if Rabbi Kiva ever saw him. Yes, I mean, recently I learned to Yerushalmi that blew my mind. It blew my mind. You know, again, many things blow my mind because I don't know much, but this blew my mind. Rish Lakish fasted 300 days. He should be Zaycheh to see Rabbi Chiya. He wanted to see Reb Chiya, and he never saw Reb Chiya, Reb Shlakish. He fasted 300 days that he should see Reb Chiya, and he didn't get to see him. And he told his Talmidim, "Why can't I see Reb Chiya? What am I missing that I can't see Reb Chiya?" And they told him that Reb Chiya taught Tyra, you learned Tyra, he taught more Tyra, he went to Golos to teach Tyra. They said the milas of Reb Chiya. Yeah, and Amira fasted 300 days to see Reb Chiya, and he never saw him. I can't figure out why he didn't see him. They both lived in Eretz Yisrael, and their lives overlapped. I think he was alive. Well, why would he want to see him? Unless he told me Reb Chiya was Nifki, wanted to see him post, I don't know. The Bashami says, two Amarav, one fasted 70 days, and he saw Reb Chiya, and one, and Reb Shlakish fasted 300 days and didn't get to see Reb Chiya. And after 300 days, I guess he gave up. It's not so simple. I don't know if Reb Akiva ever saw Shimon Amsuni. I don't know if Shimon Amsuni ever saw Reb Akiva. I don't know. I don't know historically when they lived.
I remember 30 years ago when I went to Daf Yomi under Reb Gretton, that Abba Spiro said to you, you know the difference between Reb Mark Gretton and the college professor? The college professor never admits he's wrong. Remember that?
No, I don't remember everything I did 30 years ago. I don't remember what I did yesterday. How can I remember what I did 30 years ago? Who's Abba Spiro?
I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, doctor.
Out of honesty, I would say that intellectual honesty is a rare property everywhere. I have met people involved in research and people involved also in practicing medicine who are rigorously honest.
Okay, I'm sure it happens.
It is not a common property. I've met people who are very bright and don't know how to be honest, but yes, there are people who apply very exacting standards to truth.
Could be. Said, I have a friend, I don't want to spend too much time, it's a waste of time. I have a friend who's a professor in law at the University of Baltimore. He told me that sometimes he says something and a student raises his hand and shrugs him up. So I'll tell him, oh, the sun is shining today, and then he continues on. I said, what do you mean? He said, I'll never admit I'm wrong as a professor. If I admit I'm wrong, this is what the guy told me. He said, I'm learning. I know what's true, what's not true. In law, I just brush him off with some stupid comments and go on. Again, that's him. I'm not saying nobody else is different.
One of the great joys in my life is when I'm saying something and a third-year medical student says something, not even a bright third-year medical student says something to me, and they don't
again,
even realize...
Again, I'm not arguing with you that there are honest people, but as you said before, it's not a common property. Hanoim, we're impeccably honest, every single one of them. That's the Gemara Vayter. Be'eg la'rufa. He's Makadish a lady with an egg la rufa menolon. How do I know an egg la rufa is usher? Amid debay rabyanai, kaparak sivbe bekutchim. Says kaper la'amcha yisrael. That tells me it has properties of kutchim. It's really not kutchim. But the Torah is calling it a kapara, so it's like kutchim, the fact that it's usher b'hano. Rashi, ki kutchim, b'kutchim asurim b'hano, sharmayelim b'hem. So in the bracket, in the parentheses, which some take out, Rashi asks the Kasha, well then why can't you redeem Eg La'Rufa? So Rashi says, that's good when you made your own logical comparison, or you translated a word one way, so we ask a question. But if it's a Hekesh, because the Torah said Kapora Kirkachim, you can't ask any question. So you can't redeem Hekesh, Eg La'Rufa. I don't know how we know that, but even though it's kapara kasir baki kach. Right.
It's not his.
What? So again, so that was a question we asked in the Mishnah. I forgot how I answered it in the Mishnah. You're trying to ask your question. Again, let's go. You're trying to ask your question. So they say two pshatim in how Eg La'Rufa can be personally owned. Either a personal fellow bought the Eg La'Rufa to give to the tzibur. Exactly. So it's already an Egla Rufa, as we will learn later on, at what point it becomes an Egla Rufa, and then decided to be Mekadesh a lady with it instead of giving it to the Tzibur. Or that the Tzibur found a better one and decided to drop their first one, and he went and said, oh, Tzibur doesn't need it, I'll take it. Those are the two pshatim I saw in the Rishayim that ask, how can Egla Rufa be owned personally? But the Rishayim ask your question.
Remember we said
as the Mishnah? I said, I don't remember how I answered in the Mishnah. It could be I said, wait for the Gemara.
Yeah, you remember? I
know I didn't say it. I don't remember. I said, I don't remember what I said in the Mishnah.
What was the second answer?
That Tzibur found a better one for whatever reason, dropped the first one, and somebody came and took it.
What's a better one?
a nicer calf. For whatever reason, they decided that's a better fit.
In other words, you can't have a mum. I assume you can't have a mum.
No.
I have another question. Why, Ramosha, why didn't you tell
okay.
Rebbe the story?
Okay, can we move? Tzipora and Matira.
Why did you see the greatness of Rebbe Dafyomi? You should have told him that. Dafyomi is ahead of us, right?
Right. Tzipora and Matira. I don't know what the word you're talking about. Tzipora and Matira. Frank, think of, no, don't worry about it. Manola. How do I know that Tzipora and Matira is Asabano? Now, what are Tzipora and Matira? Let me say it again, which I have to know because Gemara is going to be referring to this. When a Matira becomes Tahar, not every Matira, but a Matira Mukhlut, becomes Tahar. The beginning of the Tahara process is the Kayin goes out Mechut Machna. And then they take a bunch of ingredients, two birds, hyssop, eight erez, and the Shni Trelos, red thread. And they shecht one of the birds, and they put the blood in water, in Mayim Chaim, if they put it into well water, into a cup. They shecht one of the birds, and they put the blood mixed into the water, and then they dip the living bird plus the eight eres and the azib and the shnitah loss in that blood. They sprinkle it, I'm not sure on the Matira or Keneged the Yushlaim, I forgot the Pusik, the Perisha Pusik. They sprinkle it towards, I don't remember where, and then they send the living bird away, and the shechted bird is Asibana. Now, the Mishnah is saying both birds are Asibana. So we're going to be talking about that as we go along. But the Mishnah says, Sipurei Mitzaira. The birds of the Mitzaira are Asibana. So if Mr. Mitzaira got himself two birds, they're Asibana. And if he decides to marry a woman with them before they get to work, it's not Mukadeshes, it's already Asibana. That's what our Mishnah is saying. Now, that's privately owned, by the way. The Matira pays for the birds. His birds. He needs it. He buys two birds. So therefore, buys two birds. Then he decides he wants to marry a woman with them. It's Asimano. It's not a good Kedusha. That's what the Mishnah said. We want to know, how do you know Tzipur and Matira Asimano? Frek the Gemara Minala. How do I know that Tzipur and Matira Asimano? And for the Gemara. The Tana of the Mary Bishmo. Nemer machshur mechaber b'fnim, v'nemer machshur mechaber b'bechutz. In karbonis, in the Azara, there are two types. There are ones that give kapara, there are more types, but we're talking about two of them. There are ones that give kapara, chatas, asham, the regular karbonis. And there's one carbon that's called a machshur. The asham mitzayra is a special asham that's not there for kapara, because he did a chatas already. But he brings the asham to be machshir him to eat kachim, to be machshir him to take off the remnants of tumah. That's what the asham mitzayra comes. It's a different kind. It's the same. It's a carbon, but it functions differently in what it accomplishes. So in karbonis in the azara, there is a mechaprim and there's a machshirim. Outside the azara, we also find two kinds of rituals that are done outside the azara. Egla Rufa, which is a mechaper, kaper la'amcha Yisrael, that a murder could happen, and Tzipurei Mitzayra, which is done outside the Azara, it's done outside of the city, and that's done to be machshir to Mitzayra, to be able to walk into the city. So there's a mechaper and a machshir in the Azara, and then there's a machshir mechaper out of the Azara. Ne'emar mechaper and machshir b'fnim. Ne'emar machshir mechaper b'chutz. They have the same level of Kedusha, the same level of Isser Hana. So that we compare the Tzipurei Mitzayra to Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa is Asa Bano, we learned that from Kaper Lam Chizo. So now we learn that Tzipurei Mitzayra from Egla Rufa. Rashi. Zok Rashi, Tzipurei Mitzayra Machshirei Bechutzeim. They're machshir outside the Azara. Sharchutz le'ir nazis mitzvasa. U'lahachshir sa mitzayra lovei b'machna. It allows the mitzayra to come into the machna. Machshir b'fnim, asham mitzayra. That's the asham mitzayra. It's different than the other kabbanis. It's not for kapara, because he brings a chatas. It's to be machshir him. Mechaber b'fnim kol hakavonos. Mechaber b'chutz egla rufa. Ma b'fnim osa machshik mechaber lechilek bein oshim mitzer l'shar ha'shamas. As far as Isra Hanoah is concerned, there's no difference. So the same thing is true by Tzipurim mitzera. We learn it out from egla rufa. Zok to Gemara Itmar.
Why do they compare to each other versus, let's say, Bar Duma?
What
do they have in common?
Again, one is a Maksha, one is a Mechaper. They don't have much in common. But we follow the thing in Hegdish. Right? Just like by Hegdish, Maksha and Mechaper treated the same. Outside, Maksha and Mechaper treated the same.
When it comes to Egla Rufa, there's
nobody. It says Kapil Lam Chizol. It's treated like Hutch. That was the story we asked. How do we know Egla Rufa? We answered Kaporek Simba Kikachim.
By both of them.
By Egla Rufa.
So what does that have to do with?
Tzipurim Mitzayris compared to Egla Rufa, just like we see in the Azara, Asham Mitzayris compared to other Ashamas. Zog Tikamar Vaiter. What? There's a machshir and there's a mechaper. There's two rituals done outside the Azara. Egla Rufa, which is a mechaper, and Tzipurim Mitzera, which is a machshir. Itma. Tzipurim Mitzera Mei Mesai Asurim. At what point does it become Asur Mana? You have two birds. The Mitzera got them. When does it become Asur Mana? When you shecht one, both become Asur Bana. But till you shecht it, it's not Asur Bana. Rish Lakish Amar Mishash Lekicha. As soon as the Mitzayra buys them and says, these are my Tzipurim Mitzayra, it becomes Asur Bana. Rashi, Mishash Chita, Nesra Hashchuta Vamishlakas Mutaris Kilakaman. Interesting, Rashi learns that the shchuta becomes aser, and the mishulachas will become mutter later on. Now, it's not clear from Rashi that means the mishulachas never becomes aser, or does it mean, like Tysus explains, both become aser, and then the mishulachas becomes mutter later on. Rashi seems to say that the mishulachas never becomes aser. Tysus has a problem, because then it's not Tzipurei Metzaira. Then it's not both birds of Metzaira, only one bird becomes aser. So, Tysus learns that when you shecht one, both become aser, and then one becomes mutter later on. Me'egla rufa, weiter. Zakti gemar weiter. Ebjechen namer meshach shchita, shchitu da aser lo. Shchita is asers it, as we're going to learn from a pasuk later on, that shchita asers it. Ebjechen did not bring the source yet. The Gemara will bring his source later. Shlagash namer meshach lekicha, ke'egla rufa. Right? We learned it out from Egla Rufa. Didn't we learn out Tzipurim Mitzayra from Egla Rufa? Ma Egla Rufa Michayim. Egla Rufa becomes Aser while still alive. Ab Tzipurim Mitzayra Michayim. Tzipurim Mitzayra also become Aser while it's alive. So Rish Lakish is saying, well, if we're learning out the Yisra Noah from Egla Rufa, Egla Rufa is when it's alive, so the same thing is true by Tzipurim Mitzayra. Rashi. Me'egla rufa, ma'hasem imitzur mechayim kikachim, havka mechayim. Zog to Gemara.
One of them goes for life forever, where Egla rufa gets killed. So it has a difference between them.
Again, so Tysus explains they both become aser, and then one becomes mutter later on.
Oh.
I said Rashi I'm not clear in, because Rashi makes it sound like you. But Tysus doesn't like Rashi because the Mishnah said Tzipurei Mitzayra, plural. So Tysus learns they both become Aser, and then one becomes Mutter later on. Frek the Gemara. The Egla Rufa Gufa Memesai. And when does Egla Rufa become Aser? At which point? Amar Abyane Gvul Shemati Bava Shachachti. I heard the boundary, I heard when it happens, I forgot. I can't quote anybody. I heard once what when it becomes aser, but I forgot. V'nas v'chavaraya leimer, my friends tell me, yuidatzel anachal esen yisrasa. When they take it into the valley where they're going to chop the head off, when they bring it down to the valley, that point it becomes aser bana. That's what my friends tell me. I heard, I don't remember what I heard, but they tell me that's when it becomes aser. Rashi. Gvul shamati ba v'shachachti. Sorry, there's another Rashi before it. Haki yasin of egg la rufa meimasai nesera. Amar rabiana meimasai neseras. Hal vein demel kadoshim. The money you use to buy the egg la rufa is not hegdish. Like dushas mizbeach. Like dushas berek habayis. It's not comes from hegdish pot. Heli atzma la rufa. It's taken to chop the head off. Gvul shamati ba v'shachachti. Meimas neseras when it becomes aser. That's when it's called an egla arufa. That's the point where it becomes from a regular egla into an egla arufa.
So the second answer was that people found a better egla arufa, a better egel, then that's not a good answer anymore, according to Rashi, because it doesn't become kodesh until they take it down.
They took it down and they tried to get another one. Again, I still don't know what makes something better. I don't know. Zakti Gemara Baita. Frekti Gemara. Ima egla ruva mishas l'kicha le'mitzara. Aptipura mitzayinam mishas l'kicha le'mitzari. If your source is egla ruva, when you buy the egla ruva, it doesn't become aser. So why are you telling me that the birds are aser when you buy them, and you're learning it out from egla ruva? It's not true. Egla ruva, it's too early. So why over here is it that's the point? So the Gemara Haki Hashta, Hasim Isle Gvul Achrini, Hakami Isle Gvul Achrina. Meaning, by Egla Rufa, the Torah said, Vairidu Zikner Yiras Egla. There's a process. And the Torah spelled out a process. So therefore, we can say the Isser starts at that process. Mashenki by Tipura Mitzayra, there's no process. You buy them, and then you shecht it. There's nothing in between. So if it has to be Mechayim, there is no other time. We learn now from Egla Rufa that it's Mechayim. But Mechayim needs a point. So by Egla Rufa, the Torah gave a point. Because the Torah said, take it down to the Achoresas. Here, the Torah said, buy two birds and shecht one. The Torah doesn't mention any other step to do. And therefore, there's no other step that we can attribute when it becomes Asamana. It's not done in that Zohar. It's done outside of Shulayim.
Right. Who does the Malik? There's another step.
I don't even know. What? What's the step? One second. That's when it's dead already.
Again.
We want to find out how do I know both birds are usher while they're alive. There is no step during the lifetime of the birds besides by that the Torah mentions. Now, Tyson speaks out. Obviously, you're going to have to bring the birds to where he is. So there's another step. The place that says the pasuk doesn't mention a step. That you figure out on your own. By Egla Rufa, the Torah says a step. Take it down to Nahal Esau.
What's it called? When does that become down? When we take it down to
the valley.
I know, I'm saying.
You hit the bottom of the valley.
That's when it's
the bottom. I honestly don't know. I don't know.
Who does that? Who does the forms in the Torah?
The Kayan. The Kayan. It's a Shechita. It's not Malika. It's not a carbon.
Oh, the Shechita on with a knife?
Yeah.
That was shown.
This is not a carbon.
I know. It's not a carbon. It's a ritual.
Right. Rashi. The only thing the Torah says is buy it. So it says buy it. That's the only thing the Torah mentions. And everybody should have just a wonderful day.